You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Thank you so much for that introduction. I am absolutely thrilled and delighted to be with you this afternoon. I have spent most of my time in this church in the pews, and so I'm delighted to preach the word for you this afternoon. I'm wondering if you've been here for a while, if you've ever actually read the Book of Common Prayer. I mean, really read it. There is a part of the catechism, it asks this question, and the question is simply this: what is redemption? And the answer given in the catechism is simply this: that redemption is an act of God who sets us free from the power of evil and sin and death. So redemption is the act of God which frees us from the power of evil and sin and death. The lectionary reading for today is from Psalm 34, verses 1 to 8. And as I read this psalm, it seems that David gets this. In fact, David's understanding that redemption is so much about the freeing from the power of evil and sin and death that he is free to bless the Lord at all times. Listen to these verses from Psalm 34. You are welcome to join me in the reading of this psalm there in your Bibles, your pew Bibles in front of you. This is what David says. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. What's so fascinating about this particular psalm is that David is able to exalt these words that he will bless the Lord at all times while he is being hunted to death. The context of this psalm is 1 Samuel 21, and David is fleeing from King Saul, who sought to kill him out of jealousy for his military successes and his popularity. David sought refuge with the Philistines in Gath. Recognizing the danger of seeking asylum in the enemies of Israel and realizing his identity was known, David feigned insanity to avoid suspicion and potential death at the hands of the Philistine king. So the name Abimelech here might have been the royal title used for the Philistine kings rather than his proper name. And it is in this context of chaos and uncertainty that David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. In the midst of fear and uncertainty and chaos, David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. David's confidence is grounded in knowing that redemption from sin and evil and death comes from the Lord, so much so that in the good times and the bad times, he's able to bless the Lord at all times. Praise, he says, is in his mouth. And this confidence is grounded in the knowledge of the same God who he experienced redemption from. So he says in verse 2 that he can boast in the Lord, and this is a boasting from his soul. It's a deep, grounded, emotional boasting that comes not just from the mouth, but from the appetite, from the center of his being. It is a passionate boasting in the Lord, the one true God, the deliverer God, the one who redeems his people from evil and brokenness and sin, and he has confidence in this, and this is the cause of his praise. He is boasting, he says, in this God because he experienced this firsthand. He says in verse 4 that he sought the Lord, and that word sought in the Hebrew means to seek the guidance of, to seek care with, to restore relationship, to inquire, sort of deep engagement with God. And he sought the Lord, and the Lord delivered me. And this deliverance was experienced because he was delivered from impending death. The Lord responded and answered him in the context of this. He snatched him right from the brink of utter destruction. And he says, because of this, in the good times, and in this case, the really bad times, I will praise the Lord at all times. In the Black church tradition, we often would have a testimony service. And the point of the testimony service was to have people sort of come up to a microphone and give and bear witness to what God had been doing in their life. To give a testimony to God's grace and God's mercy and God's deliverance in their lives. And sometimes you'd have to help people keep it short. You give an open mic and, you know, Mrs. Odell would stand up and say, oh, the Lord's blessed me in this way and this way. And we're like, okay, man, we got to get more people. And what would happen is that people would recount the grace and power and mercy of God in their lives. And then we would all break out in song together. We would sing and celebrate together because we are God's people and we celebrate God's deliverance in community. We do this together. So I'm wondering, as you sit here this afternoon, as you think about how good God has been to you, what would your testimony be? As you think about your good times, but also your bad times, would you be able, as David did here, to praise this God of redemption from your own lips? What would you say? What would come out of your mouth? And what's interesting here is that David ties this to his fears. That this deliverance was so much from his deep fears. And in the Hebrew, these fears that come aren't simply anxieties like, how am I going to pay my light bill? Is not about how I'm going to pay my mortgage. That these fears in this particular text are the fears that you don't tell anyone about. The deep fears, the fears about someone that you love who has cancer and may die. Fears of abandonment, fears of permanent loneliness. fears that your marriage may fail, fears that you may have a miscarriage, fears that your business may fail, fears that the bottom is going to fall out, and your worst nightmare about your children is on the brink of coming true. Those are the fears that David says he can praise the Lord about. And perhaps if you're thinking about these fears and you don't have a list of things that you can recognize and attach to God's grace and mercy and deliverance and redemption, perhaps the problem with this list that you may not have if you don't have it is that perhaps you have taken credit for things that God did. Maybe it wasn't your skills at driving that helped your car not veer off the road and hit the tree. Maybe that was God. Maybe it wasn't simply the creative ingenuity and genius of the physicians in the operating room that kept you from dying on the table. Maybe that was God. Maybe the hands that operated on that machine and it slipped and it kept your arm from being cut off. Maybe the reflex that entered into that particular context wasn't you. Maybe that was God. In the good times and in the bad times, there is this recognition that if it were not for the ever presence and impending grace of God, I would be nothing. My life would be nothing, and I would be susceptible to the power of sin and death and evil. And so when we think about the power of the resurrection, when we think about what Easter is about, as we approach this great day, what David reminds us here in this particular passage is that God is going to do exactly what he intends to do for the good of his people, whether it's good or bad in our experience, that the Lord is going to prevail no matter what. And so David says here that this angel of the Lord encamps with his people. He is with them and he is for them and he is around them. He has taken up stake with them. He has planted flags and comes to rest and abide with them. This good God is the one that David says and invites in verse 8, where he simply says, "Oh, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." And this good God, this delivering God, this is the God that David says he invites us to come and taste. He says, this is the God who delivers his people from trouble. This is the God who answers prayers. This is the God who delivers them from their worst fears. This is the God who saves them from their troubles. This is the God who comes and encamps around his people. This is the God who delivers them. And if you want proof, my friends, my brothers and sisters, that this God is that this God of David is our God today, it is, in fact, the resurrection as the proof. The empty tomb is evidence that God still delivers his people from trouble. God is still in the business of answering prayers. God still delivers his people from their worst fears. He still delivers them from trouble. He encamps with them. He is for them, because the resurrection itself is the evidence that no matter what, God is going to bless his people at all times. So as you leave today and you go back to your office, you go back to your home, or you go and pick your kids up from school, you can sit and rest in peace, knowing that the same God who cared about David's situation, the same God who seeks to deliver his people from sin and death and evil, that the resurrection is true, and so we can rejoice and recognize that the bad times that we have is not the end of the story. The good times that we have is not the end of the story, because the resurrection proves that God is up to something really big and really significant and really magnificent. And so even when things get tough and bad and confusing, we can rejoice, because the resurrection did happen. And we can take refuge in that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.